The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. And we'll look in particular this evening, with the Lord's help, at the verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord, according to his own divine and sovereign will, chooses certain men for certain tasks. Noah, he chose to build the ark and to be a preacher of righteousness. Moses, the Lord chose to lead Israel out of Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord chose David to be his anointed king and to rule over Israel. We think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he chose to be a prophet and to be that weeping prophet, as he's often referred to go and preach against the sins of Israel. All these men were chosen for particular tasks. All of them and many others, the Lord had them as his chosen vessels. As was also Saul of Tarsus, whom the Lord said is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 15. So Saul of Tarsus was a chosen vessel. He didn't choose anyone else to bear his name to the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He chose Saul. And there is another chosen vessel mentioned here in Acts 9. And his name, of course, is Ananias. The Lord had a word for Saul of Tarsus as he dwelt there in the street that is called Straight in the house of Judas. There were many disciples in Damascus. That was why Saul of Tarsus was going there, to arrest them and imprison them. There were many disciples there. But the Lord chose Ananias. And he had chosen Ananias for this particular task of delivering a word to Saul of Tarsus as he dwelt there in that house. Now Ananias wasn't called to go and speak to kings. He was not called upon to be an evangelist among the children of Israel. He was not chosen to build an ark. He was not chosen to lead a nation. He wasn't chosen to be a king or a prophet. He was simply chosen by the Lord to go to Damascus, to this particular street and to a particular house to address Saul. It was a simple task. There was nothing really complicated about it. It was simple and it was straightforward. And when Ananias performed that task, it's interesting, we don't meet with him again anywhere in Scripture. Paul refers to him. But we never read of Ananias doing anything else for the Lord. That's not to say he didn't do anything, but there's nothing recorded about him in Scripture. This is the only time we read about this Ananias, and we read about what he did, the simple, straightforward task of going and addressing Saul of Tarsus. Now this shows us that there are certain simple tasks which the Lord needs his children to do. We've often said, and we've all heard it, the Lord has not chosen everyone and sent them out to the mission field. He has not called every man to be a preacher. But there are certain things that we can all do. doesn't need a great deal of skill or know-how, not even a great education. We don't even know what kind of an education Ananias had. But the thing is, the Lord chose Ananias, of all the disciples, to perform this simple task. And so, believer, the Lord has many simple tasks that he needs done, and he looks to his children, his disciples, to do them. And that teaches us that we ought to be always ready to obey the Lord, to listen for his voice, and to obey that voice and carry out that command, no matter how simple that task may be. And so we have here a wonderful example of Ananias the man, who simply performed a very simple task in the Lord's name. So as we look at Ananias, that's where we begin, with Ananias the man. We're told about the man here in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. That's about all we're told about him. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Ananias suddenly appears upon the scene. And just as suddenly, he's gone again. But in between, he does this work for the Lord. There's a work for us all to do. Don't need to go out preaching. We don't need to be street preachers. We don't need to be missionaries. But there's work for us all to do. Simple things. Straightforward things that need to be done in the Lord's name. And here you have in this verse 10 the description of the man. A very brief description is given of Ananias. We're told there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. As we've said, no doubt, one of the many disciples of the Lord that were in Damascus, that Saul had gone there to arrest and to imprison. But this man, if it were not for the Lord choosing him to go and speak to Saul, we would never have heard of him. We never would have known anything about him. We would not even know that this man existed. But the important thing is, the Lord knew he existed. And the Lord knew all about him and knew where to find him. Now we see that Ananias wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a pastor. He didn't hold a very high position. He wasn't a president or a prelate. He's simply known as a certain disciple named Ananias. And the Lord calls upon him to perform a certain duty. And believer, you may think that because you don't have many skills or talents or gifts, that the Lord will not have anything for you to do. Well, what's difficult about going down to a certain street and to a certain home and there speaking to a man called Saul of Tarsus? That's simple. That is straightforward. We have the week of meetings coming up. And what's difficult about giving out one of the flyers? What's difficult about inviting someone to church? That's simple, straightforward. And here was Ananias, and the Lord called upon him. Without skills, without talents, without gifts, called upon him to go and speak to a man in the street called Straight. No mention is made here of any gifts that Ananias may have had, or talents, or skills. But the Lord had a job for him to do. Do you remember what Dr. Bill Wood said when we viewed that DVD of his 50 years as a missionary in the Amazon in Brazil? Dr. Bill Wood said, God does not call you for the job you are fit to do, but God will fit you to the job he calls you to do. And I think those are wonderful words and very true. God does not call you for the job you are fit to do, but God will fit you to the job he calls you to do. And that's how the Lord works. The Lord fitted Moses for the job the Lord called him to do. The Lord fitted Jeremiah for his task. And here he fits Ananias for his task. And believer, the Lord will fit each one of us for the work that he wants us to do. No matter how simple that work is, that job is, the Lord will make us ready and prepare us for it and fit us to do that job. We notice then that here that he is described. Here's the description of the man. And then we see that he was a discipled man. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Ananias was just one of a number of disciples at Damascus. But the Lord chose this certain disciple. And what an honor it was for Ananias. Think of all the disciples who were there, whatever number there was. Yet out of them all, the Lord chose Ananias. Chose Ananias to do this simple task of going and addressing Saul of Tarsus. He was a disciple. He was a disciple, that is, he was under the rule and authority of the Savior. As a disciple, he didn't live unto himself. He's a disciple of the Lord. He lived unto the Lord. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what a disciple is? A follower of Christ. You recall when the Lord walked along the shores of Galilee and he was enlisting disciples, he called out to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And when John saw the glorified saints in heaven, he asked who they were. And the Lord told them, "These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth." That's the disciple. And so Ananias was one who followed the Lord. He was one of the Lord's disciples. And being one of the Lord's disciples in Damascus, he must be ready to go wherever the Lord sends him. See, that's what it is to be a disciple. We cannot say that we are the Lord's disciples, and yet we're not willing to do what the Lord asks us to do. We cannot say we're one of the Lord's disciples, that we're a follower of the Lord, if we don't follow him. If we live unto ourselves instead of living unto the Lord. And it was his Lord and Master who spoke to him that day and sent him to Saul. We read that in the verse 10 and again in verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me." And so it's the same Lord Jesus that appeared to Saul on the roadway, that appeared unto Ananias, the same Christ. And here we see that Ananias is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him, spoke to him in a vision, and told him to go. And as a disciple of the Lord, he was bound to go. He's the Lord's disciple. What else could he do if he was the Lord's disciple? Being under the discipline of the Lord, believer, we must be open and ready to receive and carry out his commands. How often have we sung those words? Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me. What are we to do? We're to follow. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me, for I remember Calvary. It is because of Calvary we're his disciples. And just as Ananias was honored and blessed by the Lord choosing him to go and speak to Saul, so we should also be honored and blessed in our own hearts that the Lord would choose us to do a work for him. And as his disciples, we must have an open ear to hear his voice, an open heart to receive his instructions, an open mind to be ready to go where the Master bids us. We were talking to a young man when we were home there in Lurgan. He came over to the mission one night. He's just completed 4 years of study in our Whitfield College of the Bible. He's been to Tasmania and to the work of the Lord over there. He's been to Calgary, filled in the pulpit there. He's preached in other places. And when we were spoke to him about where the Lord would have him to go and where he's going to serve the Lord, he just said that he was open to the leading of the Lord. Open. He may have his own thoughts where he would like to go, where he would like to serve the Lord. But this young man said he was open. He had an open mind with regard to where he would serve the Lord. We're his disciples. We're the Lord's disciples. We must be open to the leading of the Lord also. And then we notice also that he was a devout man, this Ananias. We know that from what Paul said about him later on in Acts 22. There in Acts 22 and verse 12, Paul says, "And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." So he was a good man, this Ananias. "One Ananias, a devout man, according to the law." He'd given himself to obeying the Lord and his commands. Just as we noted this morning about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were devout. We hear people talk about devout Catholics and devout Muslims. That may be so. But what about being a devout Christian? Somehow you don't hear that so often. As a devout Catholic or a devout Muslim or whatever. But what about being a devout Christian? That's what Ananias was. He was a devout Christian. He served the Lord. He lived for the Lord. He walked in the Lord's commandments and ordinances. He was devout. If you take that word devout, there are a number of words translated devout in Scripture, but the one that is used here refers to someone who is reverential. That's what the word means. Reverential. Saul of Tarsus had never met Ananias before. Their paths had never crossed. We know that from what Ananias said to the Lord about the things he had heard about Saul of Tarsus. But he had never met the man. And yet, whenever Ananias went to Saul, Saul recognized him immediately as a devout man. So there was something about this man, Ananias, that spoke to Saul and said to Saul, "This is a devout man. This is a holy man of God. This is a true Christian man." He knew it by perhaps his conversation, by the few words that he spoke to him. Because you notice there, verse 17 contains all that Ananias said. Just a few words. And you know, you can be in the company of someone and listen to their conversation. You don't have to listen to it for very long to know what kind of a person that is. To know whether they're a fleshly, carnal, worldly person. Or are they devout? Are they holy? Do they know the Lord? You know that very soon from their conversation. Perhaps he knew it by Ananias' conduct. Just by the way he conducted himself when he came to him. Because Saul said that he was a devout man. There's something reverential about Ananias. He wasn't brash. He wasn't coarse. He wasn't fleshly or carnal. He behaved himself reverentially. And that is something I feel that is missing in these days. The Lord's name, and I feel even amongst Christians, the Lord's name is not spoken with reverence. You know of how even professing Christians will use that term, "Oh my God." That's taking the Lord's name in vain. There's no reverence shown there for the Lord's name. The name Jehovah was a name that the Jews were very reluctant to take upon their lips, lest they would speak irreverently of him and in an irreverent way. As far as Ananias was concerned, there was nothing flippant about him. And Saul detected that. It's interesting that Ananias, the name, Ananias' name means Jehovah is gracious. And here was a man who lived up to his name. The Lord Jehovah was in the life of Ananias. Ananias served the Lord God Jehovah. And in his life, you could see the grace of God. And Saul of Tarsus saw that, detected that, whenever Ananias went to him. He was a devout man. That leads us on to consider Ananias, the man, and Ananias and his mission. Ananias was to be the channel for communicating the Holy Spirit to the great apostle of the Gentiles. A simple task, but nevertheless important. And the Lord chose Ananias for this important task. For we read in verse 17, "And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Nothing more about Ananias. That's it. It was the end of the job. But he carried it out faithfully. He did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. That was his mission. But regarding his mission, notice his call. Here in this call, we have proof that the great shepherd knows all of his sheep by name. He knows where to find the sheep. When the shepherd loses a sheep, he must go out and find it. He's no idea where it is. But the great shepherd knows where his sheep are. And he knows every one of them by name. He knew where this sheep was. He knew where to find Ananias. And he knew him by name. Ananias may have been a stranger to others, and a stranger to Saul of Tarsus, but he certainly wasn't a stranger to the Lord. For the Lord called him by name. Verse 10. And out of all the disciples in Damascus, the Lord called a certain disciple by name. Notice his readiness. It is clear from the words of the verse that Ananias, as a disciple, was ready to listen to his master's voice. Notice the Lord had only to call Ananias once. For some, the Lord has to call many times. For some, they turn a deaf ear to the Lord's voice. And the Lord calls them for a job, a task that needs to be done. But they're hoping someone else will do it. They're hoping someone else will carry out that task and do that job. So the Lord has to call again and again and again. But for Ananias, the Lord only called once. For it says, the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here. There's readiness to hear the voice of the Lord. Job 33 and verse 14 we read, For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Lord speaketh once, yea twice, maybe three times, maybe more, but man perceiveth it not. Doesn't give heed to the voice of the Lord. We ought to give heed to the Lord's voice. We cannot afford to turn a deaf ear to the Lord's voice. Once was enough for Ananias. He was listening. He was listening. As the Lord's disciple, he was listening for his master's voice. Master, speak and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word, I am listening, Lord, for thee. I'm listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. And as the Lord's disciples. That should be our prayer. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. As the Lord's disciples, we surely want to hear his voice. See his readiness and you see his response. He knew how to respond to the voice of the Lord. For we read, and he said, I am here, Lord. His response was prompt. His response was proper. If the Lord speaks to us, then it is only proper. It is only proper, believer, that we respond promptly. And notice he said, I am here, Lord. I am here. In other words, Ananias was there in the very place that the Lord could take him up and use him. How we always need to be where the Lord can use us. Like the lad who came that day to the Lord with his loaves and his fishes. And Andrew went to the Lord and said, there is a lad here. He didn't say there is a lad out there somewhere in that multitude. No, he says there is a lad here. And the lad was there where the Lord was. And we need to be where the Lord is if we want the Lord to use us. And Ananias was where the Lord was, for Ananias was able to say, I am here, Lord. Let us also be where the Lord can use us. Notice also, as well as his call, his commission. Ananias received his commission from the Lord. And notice in this commission how Ananias used his feet, used his voice, and used his hands. In verses 11 and 12, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go. He's going to use his feet. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. He's going to use his voice. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Tarsus, for behold he prayeth, for he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So he used his feet. He used his voice. And he used his hands. Isn't that what we often sing? Do we mean those words that we sing? Take my hands and let them move. At the impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. That's what we ought to pray. Lord, take my feet. Take my hands. Take my voice. Take my lips. Lord, take me and use me in thy service. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak. Oh, speak to me. Next we have his concern. Ananias wouldn't have been the first man to express concern about carrying out the Lord's orders. Ananias said in verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here in Damascus he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So there's Ananias' concern. The Lord had told him to go and see Saul of Tarsus. Ananias said, well, I've heard many things about this man. He's done nothing but evil to thy people, to thy saints. He's concerned about going and seeing Saul. Moses was concerned as well. Moses, in Exodus 3 and verse 11, said, who am I to go and speak unto Pharaoh? And then later on in chapter 4 of Exodus in verse 10, he said, but Lord, I am slow of speech. Moses was concerned, as was Jeremiah. When the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet, send him forth to minister to Israel, what did Jeremiah say? He said, Lord, lo, I cannot speak. It was his concern. Ananias was concerned. I don't believe there's a man or a woman who's been called to serve the Lord that has gone forth without some kind of concern in his or her own heart. That's the way it ought to be. My, if we go out there and our hearts filled with pride, believing, yes, I can do this, well, the Lord can soon take the pride from us. But when we go out feeling, recognizing our own weakness, then the Lord will take us up. For when we are weak, then are we strong. But the wonderful thing here is that Ananias was able to tell the Lord about his concerns. He was able to share his burden with the Lord. That's what we are to do. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And when Ananias took his burden to the Lord, he received comfort. Because we read in verses 15 and 16, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. In other words, Ananias, it's all right. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It's all right. I'm in control, Ananias. You have nothing to worry about. You know when the Lord calls you and there's concern in your heart and you go forth in fear and trembling, it is a great comfort when the truth is brought home to you. The Lord is in control. You have nothing to be concerned about. Just as it was that time that the Lord fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. Remember how he asked Philip and the other disciples how the multitude was going to be fed? Then the verse tells us, but he himself knew what he would do. See, he was in control. Philip looked at the multitude and looked at the few loaves that they had. Said it's impossible even to give the people a little. But the Lord only did that to test Philip. Because it says he himself knew what he would do. He was in control of everything. And he was in control of this situation here. It's all right, Ananias. You can go. This man who did so much evil to my people, he's a different man now. He's a chosen vessel. And I will send him forth to minister to the Gentiles and the kings and to the children of Israel. That leads us finally to consider Ananias and his message. The Lord had given Ananias a message, a mission, and he was to deliver this message to Saul. We have it in the verse 17. Notice how prompt he was. After Ananias received his instructions, the Lord said, "Go thy way," verse 15. And what do we read in verse 17? And Ananias went his way. He was prompt. He didn't dilly-dally. He didn't put it off. He expressed his concerns to the Lord, and when the Lord comforted his heart, then we're told, and he went his way. That's how it ought to be. Whenever the Lord gives us something to do, as David said, the king's business requireth haste. The king's business. And if we're in the king's business, then it requireth haste. And let us be just as prompt to follow the Lord's instructions as Ananias was. He was prompt. He was passionate. This surely had something to do with the fact that he was a devout man. He had a tender heart. Because we read in verse 17 how he addressed Saul. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul." I'm sure that sounded like music in the ears of Saul. That here was this man, a total stranger, a disciple, a devout man, who came to Saul and addressed him in this fashion, "Brother Saul." I have no doubt that made Saul of Tarsus feel at ease and at home. And you know, here was Saul of Tarsus. We know that he went on to be the great apostle and the great missionary. But at this stage, he's just a babe in Christ. Just a short time saved. And I'm sure we all remember that time when we got saved. When the Lord saved us. And we went forth in the Christian pathway, yes, in fear and trembling. Afraid that we were going to fail the Lord. And wasn't it good when some other Christian came to us and put his hand upon our shoulder and maybe said, "I'll be praying for you. Glad to know you're saved. I'll be praying for you. If there's anything I can do to help, just let me know." And every child of God, every babe in Christ needs encouragement. Need encouragement. Ananias was such an individual. He was an encourager. He was a devout man, a godly man, a man who loved the Lord. And because he loved the Lord's people. And he loved Saul of Tarsus. Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. That thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's all we hear from Ananias. We bid him farewell. Just those few verses tell us all that Ananias did. Not a very hard task. Not a very difficult one. But Ananias was willing to do it for the Lord. May the Lord give us the heart of Ananias. Make us as willing as he was. Give us the ear that recognizes the voice of the Lord when he speaks. And may we be as prompt as Ananias was to obey the Lord. When he speaks to us on the Sabbath day, when he speaks to us in a meeting like this, let us not turn a deaf ear to his voice. But rather let us say, "Speak, Lord. And Lord, speak to me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for this Word that speaks to us and has told us tonight about this man, Ananias. What a contrast in this Ananias in chapter 9 and the Ananias in chapter 5. He really was a hypocrite. He really was a false professor. He was a proud man. We thank Thee for this Ananias, who was a humble man, a holy man, godly man, a devout Christian. Lord, make us like him, and have us, Lord, to be devout Christians also in this world, when so many are devoted to many things, ungodly things, evil things. Oh, that we might be devoted to the holy God of heaven.